Yes, I have been. I'm still believing. Like I said, from time to time, I'll just touch it and pray for it. I was back here. I've actually got more voice now than I did this morning. But I was just praying. I said, Lord, I'm leaving this in your hands. My faith is in you. My faith isn't in any doctor. I don't know. I mean, surgery, sticking your finger down my throat. Lord God, I pray they knock me out to do that. Because that tiny, no, you cannot knock me out. I got too many volunteers for that. Oh, but praise God. God is good. And what are you volunteering to, Rob? Anyhow. This morning's message has a unique title. It is called Faith of a Dog. Let me get back to it here. I know it sounds derogative. In the Bible, if you were called a dog, it was not a good name. It was not a good thing. To this day, the Jews and the Arabs, they still call each other dogs. To the Arabs, we are dogs. We are infidels. To the Jews, everybody else is. This message came because the other day I was sitting there with my lovely wife, and we were having breakfast at the table. It was raining out, and we couldn't eat outside. Look over there, and there's the great black shark. Ears are perked, tail just a swishing back and forth. And I looked at him, I said, I did call you over. But as I looked at him, there was a certain expectancy he had, a faith. And just in that moment, I said, oh, to have the faith of a dog. And I sat there and said, that will preach. That dog sat there with such expectancy from me, his master. I know these terms are no longer their faux pas to use. You need to understand, a dog needs an alpha. My dog knows who the alpha is. Ask the others, they can come in, they can say something. Now, there's times that she's the alpha. She can get into that register that I cannot. But if I have to, he knows. He instantly drops his tail and... But there's times all I got to do is... This morning, she goes out to feed the cats. We have to keep the cat food in the garage now because the coons have figured out how to unlock the box. And as soon as she goes out there and he hears her getting in that bag, man, he is on his feet and he's slipping and sliding trying to get traction. And he's there waiting by the door. Gonna feed the cats. Or if he's sound asleep, gonna feed the cats. But when it comes to the food, he's sitting there, he's expecting it. He's waiting for it. Well, this preaches because in Matthew, I've got to turn this thing on. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out and departed from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, just so you know, give you a little history. Tyre is 12 miles north of the current border of Israel into Lebanon. And it's about 150 miles south of Beirut. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She's not even a believer, and she recognizes it. But he answered her not a word. He would not talk to her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Lord, she's driving us nuts. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's speaking to his disciples. He's not talking to her. I was sent to the lost sheep. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She humbled herself. See, so many times we like to use that word boldly, right? Boldly does not mean arrogantly. I can go before many people of the same title, but there should be a humility if I go into the presence. When I go to Pastor Dosek, I did not go arrogantly. We're the same title. He started his church, I started my church. He never really was my pastor, so to speak. I never sat in his ministry. He's just who God used, but I honored him. And because of that honor, God blessed me in that. Saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Remember what I just said about being called a dog by a Jew? It wasn't a good thing. We got our own little colorful words, and that's right where what he'd called her. It's not good. You're a dog. And she answered and said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. My dog sits there in anticipation. He's waiting because he knows he's going to get some crumbs. He's going to get some leftovers. And when my grandchildren are there, he gets the crumbs, especially with Turner going and watching him. So we've had to actually go to putting him in the laundry room while we eat because Turner will actually throw his food over and watch him eat instead of eating it himself, which makes a mess on the rug. But as soon as we release him, you know where he's at? He knows we ate, and he's eating up all them little crumbs. He's snorting around. He really does need to stop eating so much. He snorts, he snores. My dog wakes himself up snoring. I'm like, what? That's that dog over there. Okay. You ought to be there when he passes gas and scares himself. It's frightful to the master, too. I think you need to go outside. But she came back smartly and thought about, she knew where she fell in his eyes as a Jew. She was just a Gentile. She had no right to ask him. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. I believe it's Mark says, then when she went home, she found her daughter lying in her bed in her right mind. Her daughter was healed. This is not the first time a Gentile came to Jesus. The Roman centurion came. And what did he say? Great is your faith. How many Jews did you read? Jesus said, great is your faith. They came expecting, most of them, because, well, you're a Jew, we're Jews, you know, you owe us. These people didn't owe these people anything. Jesus didn't owe them one thing. They just knew who he was. They recognized the power he has. Now, I say that. He called them dogs. When he was crucified on that cross, when he was buried, and then when he resurrected, when he died, the veil was torn in the temple, freeing the Holy Spirit from the Holy of Holies to be out among the common people again. Because his blood had been dripped on the mercy seat, and it was accepted. And when he went back and he ascended into heaven, and Peter has his little vision of all these unclean things, And Peter's told to kill and eat. Peter said, I will not. Those are all unclean. And God said, don't you dare call unclean what I have called clean. We are what he called clean. He elevated the Gentiles from the status of dogs. I think it is hilarious that the name Caleb means dog. Joshua means Jehovah saves. So our family has Jehovah saves a dog. Because Joshua's middle name is Caleb. But it was also that combination. Yes, Lord, it was quite prophetic. Joshua and Caleb were the two that led Israel. They were the ones responsible for preaching and telling the other 10 and all the tribes, we can take them. And even back then, God was saying, I will save the Gentiles through their names. Jehovah saves the dogs. Woof. Romans chapter, oops, I got ahead of myself. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Do you believe in his name, the name of Jesus? Yes. Then you are now a child of God. You are no longer a dog. You no longer sit under the table. You sit at the table. My dog will never sit at my table. He will sit under it. He will lay on my feet. He will wait. As a matter of fact, he has gotten so keen at timing now that he will curl up over by the door, or he'll lay underneath. If your feet are cold, it's always a good thing. He can lay on them. But when he hears you lay your fork down on an empty plate, he moves. He's up. His ears are perked. He's sitting over there just waiting. And I have to say, not yet. Our plates get washed by seven waters. If you don't know the joke, the dog's name was Seven Waters. Then they go to the dishwasher with high temperature washing. So if you're ever at my house and you eat, no, they have been washed. They've been sterilized. And I eat on them every day. My dog does not have the same status as my children. We, as believers, as children of God, no longer have the same status we had as before. We were as good as dogs. We had no right to expect to eat the steak. Maybe lick the plate, right? Maybe get the fat. I had some chicken thighs the other night, and the skin didn't crispen up like it should have, so I just peeled it off. And I look over. You know, I'm sitting in, you know, when Remy was little, it was fine. I look over and I'm looking him right in the eyes now. He's sitting there. And I pull up the fat. You've got to be quick. He's called the black shark for a reason. You might pull back a nub. And he goes after it, he gets that fat. Okay, I'm done. What's next? He's waiting in anticipation. See, my children, they get to eat the meat. They get to eat the dessert. They get to eat the good stuff. He gets the leftovers. So it makes you wonder, why do people wait when they can have the good stuff? Why? How many believers to this day still don't comprehend they have a right to the good stuff? To this day, there are still believers thinking that God's forgiveness for them is conditioned on something they got to do. No, belly up to the plate. The table is set before you. You have a right as a believer, whatever it is you're believing for. If guilt and condemnation are still riding you, you have got to understand you are a child of God if you have believed and called upon his name. You are given the right to sit at the table. Faith as a dog starts here. She had to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior to sit at the table where the mashed potatoes and gravy were. My dog loves egg yolk. He's pretty good about getting them plates clean. But I don't give him the bacon. No. He gets bacon grease on his food. And then there's times Mama says, go eat Remy's food. And he drops his tail. Well, if I must. I don't want to hear that from God because I'm acting like a dog. Faith of a dog is here. The faith of a child. That's what we're supposed to be like. It's God's children. We're supposed to act like God's children, not act childish, but act like his descendants. So our faith must grow. This woman had enough faith to recognize that Jesus was the son of David. The centurion recognized the authority in Jesus that all you have to do is say the words. But those who believed, who are called by his name, we are all called by his name. That's what the word Christian means, Christ-like. Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. By the way, we're going to suffer too. Now, maybe not the exact same way. Every disciple at that table that night that he had that supper with them, the one he said, I have longed to have this with you, they suffered. Judas suffered hell. There was no covering for him. Unless something took place on the other side between him and Jesus that we don't know about, he spent. He made his bed and chose it. Peter denied knowing him. A man that just a few hours earlier he was willing to take a guy's head off for. They all left him except John. And John was still but a boy. He had that boyish curiosity. The other dudes are like, hey, they're going to kill him. Do you really want to be next? John, coincidentally, would be the only one who'd die an old man in his bed. We will suffer. Our family will make fun of us. Our friends will make fun of us. The world makes fun of us. Get used to it. There are believers around the world who are being crucified, so to speak. Primarily beheaded, imprisoned, and yet they continue to tell others. We have a blessed country in which we can stand up and be free to boldly speak the name of God, to speak and tell others. Why is it we're more concerned about what people think about us? Why aren't churches that actually preach overflowing? I've told you time and time again, if we create the right environment, we won't have room to hold people. I'm not interested in theatrics. I can do this. Aren't you wowed? I can put smoke up here. If you ever see smoke rolling off of this stage, one of two things has happened. We got a fire started, or you better be on your face. One of two things. We're not interested in daily services in which we're parading and putting on a passion play. That's not what it's about. We need to belly up to the table. David was the one in the 23rd Psalm, the 5th verse. He said, the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. pull up your chair to the table. Growing up, my dad always had his seat. Mom sat next to him, and then my sister, and then I had the end, and then my little brother, and then later on two more. And the priority fell with Dad. That was the head of the table. He said the blessing from time to time, one of us might. But then, as the food came around, it was to Mom. And my siblings were far enough behind me. They didn't eat a whole lot, so I usually got two pieces of chicken. Never the piece I wanted, but I took it. But as time changed, things started changing. My place started changing. Now I have the head of my table. It is my table, and just because my father or her father may be there, they don't sit at the head of my table. But they sit next to me. And then my sons are dispersed, sitting next to their wives or sitting in their seats. And we sit around there. We have grandchildren trying to squeeze in here. We are officially at a point where the table is not big enough, and it has 8 chairs around it. But I would rather have the overflow. Figure out where I'm going to put the kids. I've got a bar in here. When I was a kid, you know, the kids sat on the floor. Because my grandma lived in a 1970s double wide. And if you've never been in one of them, the sound booth is twice as big as the kitchen, I think. And that's where the table was at, coincidentally. It was not big. And eventually, I had an uncle come along after I was 6, and he could squeeze in back there about that much. That was his spot. But my grandpa always sat over there. Mama sat right there. But when we had other family members, I got booted out of the chair. I sat on the floor with my aunt. There wasn't a place for her either, because she was in the kids' pecking order, she was with me. Something happened, though. There was no longer respect for the table. We don't respect the table of the Lord. We want to sit at the fanciest places, don't we? I want to sit at the head. Jesus said, when you go into a feast, you sit at the lowest spot, and you let the guest of honor bring you up. Because it is better for you to have been brought up by the guest of honor than to be removed by the guest of honor. We have a place at the table. Sit down, have a meal. Years ago, Angela and I went to a meeting. It was a luncheon invitational for ministers. We were early on. I'm trying to think. I don't even know. Did we even have this building yet? Or were we just trying to get into it? We did. We did have the building. But it might have been the spring after we moved into here. We went to this meeting in Westerville, and this luncheon. And they were having a lunch, and, you know, they had a table set up from here to here. They it was all chairs and tables on both sides. And we're like, I said, you know what? We're going to follow. Because generally, when you have a minister like it, they sit in the middle, and everybody kind of goes from there. So we went to the far end as we could. We'll just sit down here away from the middle of things. We sat down, and we're waiting. The head minister, Mark Barclay, came in, and he sat 2 people down from me. I said, Lord, and all these preachers who had gotten in there before him, they went down there, they were expecting him to sit in the middle like I was. But he sat The only person between him and me was his son. I said, thank you, Lord. See, God elevated me without me having to do anything. I humbled myself and I moved to the end of the table away from the place of honor. You could tell by where they had the table set, they were expecting him to sit up there. They had to move his place setting. We are children of God. We have a place at the table. You do not have to receive the crumbs. You can have the same food. Even though Doc and I had ate the same food, his place setting was a little nicer than mine. Mine was plastic forks. His was not. We have got to see ourselves as his children, not his dogs. We're not his servants. Oh, I so am a servant. Servant doesn't know what his master's doing. Jesus said, I call you friends. And then later he says, you're children of God. My son knows what I'm doing later. Phil doesn't. We're going to assume I'm going to eat, which, yeah. But the rest of my day, my friend doesn't know it, but my son does. We're children now. We're children. We have certain rights. We have a place at that table that God has prepared for us to elevate us, to say, well done. You can eat of the good stuff. The Bible tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, you're not going to taste and see that the Lord is good eating the scraps off the floor. You're going to taste and see that the Lord is good when you sit at his table. In Luke chapter 22, it's not going to come up, verse 27, Jesus said, who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Even though he was about to wash their feet and serve them. The point he was making is the person who's seated is the one of honor. You're not dogs. You need to quit seeing yourself as unworthy of God's forgiveness, of God's love. It's an image that's gotten created in your mind about things that have happened in your life. Something some moron said to you, and I call them a moron because anybody that says hurtful things to people has to be. Why would you tell children they're not worthy? God says you are worthy. And he says, you are now my child. There is nothing heaven or hell could bring to stop me from loving my children. Yeah, brother, you're getting a little auspicious there with that word heaven. Paul is the one that said, I am thoroughly convinced angels can't separate me from the love of God. Having said that, there ain't nothing going to separate me from my children. How much more than the God of all of creation who said, you are now my children if you've received what my son did and you have these rights. My son has rights in that house that my friends do not. My grandchildren have rights in that house that my friends do not. My grandkids don't knock. They ring the doorbell incessantly because they love to hear the dog go nuts. But they hit the door running. Grandpa! It's the greatest sound. And then to see the kids coming in with the diaper bags and the whirlwind around them. And then they plop down. And you can see a relief in my children's countenance. They know they're safe. You are safe in God's house. That is where you dwell. I refuse, not this building. This is a building. That's all it is. We do reference it as the house of God. But you're the temple. That's where God dwells. And he wants you to know you are not a dog. I know. I've got a different opinion on dogs than a lot of people do. It's my dog. I tried to get him out of the house, but when it comes to my child, grandchild, or my dog, the dog's got four legs. The child or grandchild is coming out first. That's all there is to it. Because my child is who God died for. And when you see yourself like that, I'm not saying we be mean to our animals. Like I said, my dog, that... he is spoiled. He's 130 pounds of spoiled rottenness. You mention a cat? Let's go feed the cats. Step out on the porch. Who is it? The whole neighborhood knows who's outside right now and not to come up. You mention the word bath? Which is hilarious. Or if it's raining, you need to go outside? Yeah, I really got to poop bad, but it's raining. I'm not going outside. Even though I'm half lab, and I love to swim in the giant mud hole out back, I'm not getting wet. But you see, I built an inside bathroom for my children. He still goes out in the yard. I have a bathroom where my children can shower. He goes to the basement. Two different ideologies there. They still live in the same house, but one's a child and one is not. Doesn't mean I don't love my dog. It's not the same love. And my dog loves me. I know that. He lets me know every morning as he comes up and lays his head on my hand. Or if I got my hand laying over here, I'll feel it on his head. And then he just walks a little bit further till I'm on that special spot on his back. I just sit there and scratch it till my fingers are burning. I'm like, okay, we're done. My fingertips are burning. If I do that for my dog, what do you think I'd do for my grandchildren and my children? For my flesh and blood? I hug them. I kiss them. My boys all got to that age. Dad, can we not kiss anymore? Okay, I can get behind that. But you got grandkids. You better make me grandkids. I love my kisses. As long as there's not, we always called them sheep's legs. Buddy, I love you. Kiss you on the head. And you just keep the stuff running out your nose. But I've gotten a few of those. Because how do you turn it down? Lord God, I thank you for a strong immune system. And I'm not thinking about what I just kissed. That's the difference between the faith of a dog and the faith of a child. The children know I'm going to hold on to them, that I'm going to be there. I take care of my dog. But I don't buy him birthday gifts. Really don't know when his birthday is. Yeah, we do get him a Christmas present. He gets a new bed and a chew toy that he destroys in the first 30 seconds of its existence. Ropes. Yeah, which he drags out in the yard and leaves them, and I mow over them and have to fix the mower again. But you see what I'm saying? You are a child. He died for you, so that you could be elevated, lifted up, and set, washed off, cleaned up. Understand something, ladies and gentlemen. When the father went running to the prodigal son, it wasn't just bring the ring, bring the new clothes. Take this boy and you scrub him. He smells like pig poop. God don't want you sitting at the table smelling like you're still with the pigs. Well, Pastor, it sounds like you're saying we can't come to church if we don't have our lives cleaned up. I didn't say that at all. I'm saying you got to make a start. God don't expect you to keep going back to the pig wallow. I don't lay down on Remy's bed. That's his bed. Turner, he loves to lay down on Remy's bed. He loves to lay on Remy. He's still trying to ride Remy. Remy's not having any of that, and Remy doesn't comprehend. This little guy is not big enough that if I stand up, it's not going to hurt when he falls. So we have to protect Remy. You go into the laundry room. Here's your new bed. Here's a chewy. We'll just let you have some peace. Because Turner doesn't quite understand that. And Remy, in dog years, is about 70. He's not putting up with crap. I get that. But God's not. God wants you cleaned up. He wants you sitting there, clean, clothed, in your right mind, and eating from his table. Not taking what the enemy keeps handing you. Dogs, we know, ask any mailman or any smart delivery man. Best way to keep from getting bit by a dog, keep a snack in your pocket. The meanest dog becomes the biggest baby. The number of delivery people that have showed up at our house and our dog is sitting on the back porch staring at them. I've had them leave it in the middle of the driveway and drive away. Just because he was sitting there. He wasn't barking. He wasn't growling. He was just sitting there with those cold, dead. The same eyes that over here are so warm and loving are now cold and dead. This is my house, he says. I got a job to do. All right, let's stand. As we grow in our walk with the Lord and we understand what it means to be a child. I remember we sang that song when it came out. It was such a great song. I'm a friend of God. Woo-wee! Churches came unglued till they realized, okay, wait a minute. He said, you're not servants, you're now friends. Oh, great. But then Paul started teaching a whole other aspect. You're not friends, you're children. There's a whole nother step up. We're now heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. He's sitting at the great table. We get to sit at the great table. I got elevated from the butler's pantry to the table. But in order for me to keep my spot at the table, I have to figure out how to serve those next to me. That is a whole nother message. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful that we can call you Father. That you elevated us from the status of the dog who's under the table, getting the scraps, to getting us a place at the table. And you did this through your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here today and those who may be watching at home. Lord, that they grasp hold of who Jesus is and what he did for them. And now who they are in him. That we have a spot at that table that we can take of the good. That we can eat of the peace, of the joy. Lord, it is your word that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The sustenance that we take in at that table, that is what gives us the strength to continue to move, to march. That our place isn't always at the table, but that we should go to it regularly. That we have jobs to do. We have a world to lead to Jesus. Father, I pray for strength, for courage for my brothers and sisters, Lord God. Those who are battling, understanding who they are in you. Understanding the child position. Lord, most of us understand being the servant. We're happy with being just the servant. We're out of the limelight. Lord, we need to understand that to be your child, we also have to serve. But the servants do not understand what it's like to be the child. Help us to understand. Help us to walk in that position as a child. To seat at that table. Now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them today. Lord, bless their lives. Lord, bless their places of employment. Bring peace where turmoil has been running amok. In Jesus' name, amen.